Escape of Irma Austin. The date is October 1st, 1986. Westcliff, Colorado. And Irma, I want you to tell me what year you were born.
I was born March 21st, 1902.
And tell me the name of your parents.
Henry Walker Zantz and Edith Elizabeth Zantz.
And where were you born?
Fairvilla, Florida.
Fairvilla, Florida.
And it's a suburb of Orlando. I think it's absorbed by Orlando now.
Okay. And you were telling me that your father was a writer?
Yes, he wrote under the nom-de-plume of Solomon Wiseman.
Okay, and his name, and he spelled his name, he was a professor?
Yes, he was a professor. He taught in colleges for 40 years or so.
Uh-huh, and his last name was spelled Z-E-N-T-Z.
Yes.
And you have some papers here of that your father has written, and maybe I'll read those a little later after I talk
yes.
to you. I might do some reading. And also your grandparents were George and Sarah Jane Sellers.
Yes.
S-E-L-L-E-R-S.
Yes, and they had a family of, there was the oldest was William Sellers, and then Edith Elizabeth, my mother,
mm-hmm.
and Clarence Sellers. There were four. I can't think of the other's name.
Okay. And they homesteaded out in Junkins
yes,
Park.
Yes, they came from Worcester, Ohio.
Do you remember what year that was that they...
Yeah, I believe 1910.
1910. Mm-hmm. And do you know, have you heard any stories about their homesteading at all out there?
Very little, only they tried to have some cattle,
mm-hmm.
but they were stolen from them.
Oh, stolen.
They just gave that up. Mm-hmm. They said, my grandmother said that she wouldn't fight with neighbors.
Oh.
And but they just couldn't keep a cow or a calf. They got a heifer calf and it didn't disappear.
Oh, did they do any gardening out there?
Oh, they did. They had
raising of vegetables?
They had 160 acres to start with that they homesteaded. And they had wonderful gardens. When we came from Florida, we came as far as Kansas, and my dad was bedfast. So we left my oldest daughter, my oldest sister,
mm-hmm.
To take care of dad. He was very ill. And we came to, mother hadn't seen the father and mother for years and years. So she wanted to come to Junkins Park and see them. And so we left Lorena, the oldest daughter of theirs,
mm-hmm.
there to take care, help take care of him. She was probably 12, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we came on out to Junkins Park. And we stayed there that first winter. And Miss Gould, which was wonderful for my brother and me. We thought,
he thought it was great to miss school,
we
huh?
We just looked the country over and trapped squirrels and things we shouldn't do.
Uh-huh.
And we found a pair of skis of my uncle's and we thought we called them snowshoes. But we decided that one could walk put their feet in the front and the other one stand back up. So we got up, way up in the summer where our oak patch was, and it was quite steep. And my sister got on, my sister that came with us,
uh-huh.
my other sister was still in Kansas. Why she stood, she was older, so she said her feet would be in those skis, so I stood back of her, and we thought we could walk like in snowshoes. So we started out, and we started to slide, so I just squatted down, and down we went, almost to the cabin. And my uncle came out. Oh, he was angry. I was taking his keys out. And he said we could kill ourselves.
Well, sure.
So that stopped all of our fun on skis.
Oh. Now, your mother moved to the area then after your father died.
Oh, yes. We stayed there, and he died during the winter.
Uh-huh.
And there was 6 foot of snow on the level. And he went on snowshoes to Rosita to get the mail. And Dad had been buried for 2 weeks when we got word.
And that was the time when they had a town in Rosita. And
oh, yes,
post office was in Rosita.
And that reminds me, my Uncle Will said when they first came from, that was in 1910, at the turn of the century. He went in there to Rosita, and they had lynched a man, and he was still hanging up there. And he went back to Junkins Park and told his folks that he didn't want to live in such a country.
Oh, and, but did they ever find out why they lynched the man? What
he
had done?
Know.
Oh,
he said he just didn't remember all the ins and outs of it.
Uh-huh.
But they wanted to get out of there right now.
Oh. But your grandparents wanted to stay.
Yes, they stayed because they were proving up on there. And later they liked the place, and I guess it got tamer.
Uh-huh. Was there stores, grocery stores and things like that in Rosita at that time? Or did you go to West Coast?
I didn't remember
that.
Surely they had some method of getting groceries going way... Because it was too far with the wagons.
Yes. How about, now when your mother moved to the area, did she move to Silver Cliff or West Cliff?
She moved to West Cliff to start with.
Uh-huh.
But she had a friend in Silver Cliff, and it wasn't long until she moved to Silver Cliff.
And when you went to school, tell me where you went to school.
I started in West Cliff, moved to Silver Cliff, I liked it better.
Where was the school in West Cliff? Was it where it is now?
It was in the old stone building.
Where the park is now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't in the same place at all. That was built much later.
Right. And then when you went to Silver Cliff, did you go into the old Silver Cliff school?
This old schoolhouse here that is apartments now.
Right. Uh-huh. And... How many students were there, do you remember?
We had quite a few. I can't remember, but the big room, we called it, and the little room.
Uh-huh.
And even then, I used to draw pictures, make pictures. So the teacher found out that I made the calendar on 1 month.
Oh, yeah.
And so she made me make that calendar every month. And then I told her I could do better by making a picture to match the month with colored chalk.
Uh-huh.
So she got me colored chalk. So I used to make
nice.
The colored top and the picture to match the month. So we had the month there. That stayed each month, you see, on the blackboard.
Now, do you you remembering the names of your teachers?
Pardon?
The names of your teachers? Do you remember any of them?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember any anymore. They changed every year, and
Now, when you did you graduate from?
Yes,
grade
and
school.
And there was no high school,
and
so I studied with a woman that was Mrs. Johns. She used to live next door, and she'd hear my lessons, and she did it for free.
This was high school. Some of the people went down to Canyon to high school,
yes,
didn't
and
they?
My mother couldn't afford it, so.
Uh huh.
So after that, that's all is just through Mrs. Johns.
And then when did you leave the area? You left the area for a while, didn't you?
I went to Wyoming for a while with a friend of mother's. That was quite an experience. And because it was so different, the Rock River, Wyoming, and it was just being built up.
Oh.
And I was going to art school. I had friends that had met at the Pines where I'd worked, and they wanted me to come stay with them because they thought I should go to art school. And so mother, I was starting to go to get off at Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mrs. Richardson started reading a letter she'd gotten from where she was going, from her son. And so I thought, gee, it would be exciting to go out there where everything was new. And, mm-hmm. and so by the time we had to wait in Denver, and I decided that I wanted to go on out there. So I told her, I said, do you think Mother would care as long as I was under your care? And she says, no, I don't think so. And she says, of course, that's a responsibility, but she says, you're a good girl. I'll look after you. So I went on to Rock River with her, and we had to, it was certainly different. They had a mile, a tunnel that the train went through at Rock River.
Oh.
And I didn't know why, but it was because the snows were so terrible. They had to have clear across that flat. They had to have that so the trains could get through.
So they had much more snow
than
you were used to.
Oh, yes. But no, there was no snow while we were there.
Oh.
And we went to eat at the Oris Cafe.
Uh-huh.
And Samovar was his name. And he hired her for a cook right away. She was a cook.
Oh.
So she was real rough talking, just like she was a crank to people, you know, outsiders.
Uh-huh.
And so we went to bed in, we got a room, and the only place to get a room was above a pool hall. And they shot, and it was also noisy. So we pushed the dresser and everything else we could get against the door, and it was locked. But nobody bothered the door, but we wouldn't be
you
sure.
You were, make sure.
So somebody knocked on the door the next morning early. It must have been 5:30. And she said, who's there? She was real tough.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Sam Orr. And he says, if you would come down, he must have canned that cook, because I guess the cook wasn't too dependable. He says, if you'd come down right away, well, you could...
Had a job.
And he says, and if the young lady wants to wait table.
Oh, how nice.
Why,
so you had a
she has a job, too. So we worked there for 3 months.
Uh-huh.
And she was so cranky that they canned her after 3 months. And I wanted to stay. They said that I could even do the cooking. And I was only 14 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And so she says, indeed you will not. You're under my care, and you'll go right home with me.
Oh, so
which
yeah,
I did.
Oh.
After I thought over it, I thought, well, that's right.
But you went to art school there?
No.
You never did?
I never got to art school.
You never got to art school.
I never took a lesson in my life.
Oh. Well, you sure do wonderful work for not taking a lesson.
Well, I came home and just lived here until I married a boy that was in school that I'd known.
And now tell me
what
George Fox. And now we talked about how you spell that name.
Yeah, it was Fuchs.
Right,
and he spelled it Fox.
Right, changed it to that.
Well, after we were married and moved to Pueblo,
mm-hmm.
because people couldn't find us in the directory.
Right, so
we had to change it.
Well,
not legally, but we never did spell it only Fox. And George has never spelled it. Only in the service, it was both ways.
Oh.
When he went to service.
Right. And you have one son.
It's one son, that's all.
And his name is George.
George Earl Fox.
Fox. And he spells it F-O-X.
Yes.
Okay. And
but it's really, he got mail, F-U-C-H-S, too.
Both ways
in the service.
Uh-huh. You just mentioned a little while ago that you worked at the Pines.
Oh, yes, for a number of years. Those were happy years.
Now, who was running the Pines at that point?
Reginald Cusack.
Cusack. How did you spell his name?
R-E-G-I. N-A-L-D.
Reginald.
Oh.
Reginald.
C-U-S-A-C-K. And he has, part of his family are still living in Canyon City, I believe.
Oh.
Nancy.
Right.
And Audrey was married, and I don't know where she is. And just recently, the boy died.
Right. I saw the obituary. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, are those the people that built the Pines from this kit that was from Sears and Roebuck, I think? Is that the Pines?
For
When they built it, how did they build it? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Now, there's two places that I've heard about. One is the Pines, and then there's another, another place that had guests, and that was called Spread Eagle Lodge.
Well, that was later. That came later, Spread Eagle.
So Pines Rusks are running now. Dean Rusk is running the Pines.
I don't know, but I worked there during the summer until I was married, and they were happy years. Audrey was home, and we were about the same age, and we...
That's your sister?
That was her...
Audrey was there.
Cusack. And Reginald ran the... He cooked. And then they had their... That was down... They called that Rock Mound, and they took guests, and they had guests in Rock Mound and cabins. And there were cabins in the woods and the Rock Mound. And then Fairmont was their family home, and it was about a half a mile west up in the Sangreties.
Oh, I see. The Cusacks lived away from the guest ranch.
Reginald stayed there, and Audrey and I. Audrey and I took care of all of the
rooms
and waiting table.
Uh-huh.
And...
How many guests would they have?
Oh, they could take about, I'd say 12 would be.
And how long would these guests stay?
Sometimes all summer.
Really? Mm-hmm. Stay in the cabins, and then would they eat in a dining room?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so we had the dining room, and then we had sometimes extra guests on Sundays. That would come out, or special days, they'd call up and ask, could they come? And so we always had a dining room full.
Did they have phones then?
Pardon?
Did they have phones up there then? Did they have telephones?
Telephones?
They
oh,
did.
Yes.
They did have
but,
telephones.
But it wasn't connected with Westcliff, I don't believe, at that time. It may have been.
What?
The phone service wasn't through entirely. They couldn't have called long distance or anything.
Would these people come by train?
Yes.
To Westcliff?
They were met sometimes at Vertimont and sometimes in Westcliff.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
Where are some of the places they would come from?
Oh, all over. New York, some people from a... what company was it? It was some big company. I can't tell you now, but they were all quite wealthy, most of them from way off.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know. I can't remember where. And there's some from Chicago, the Staley girls, and their father was interested in some railroad, and they came up for some. There was Vava and Emily Staley.
Did they have horses up there, too?
Oh,
was
yes.
it a working
oh,
ranch?
The good horses. There's... they had one called Redwood that I just loved. And Audrey and I used to go down riding, and we'd get, there was big arroyo where the washing come out of the Sangre de Cristos.
Uh-huh.
And we'd get way down and go, we'd go very fast and then jump clear across that arroyo. And it looked impossible to get a course across. And uh-huh. those horses really could span that so easily.
So they had well-trained horses.
Pardon?
They had well-trained horses.
Oh, yes.
Would they take people up on backpack
yes, uh-huh.
trips, too?
Oh, yes, I've taken some up there. And when some of the rest were busy. And then later years, I went up from our ranch with ones that I took up. And I'd cook. Dewey was a commissioner. And we'd meet so many at the state convention. And they'd come up to visit, naturally. He'd ask everybody that we met, practically, and so would I. And they all came.
Oh.
And
so you had to find some rooms for them when they all
we
came.
We always took care of them when they came. And then I'd, special ones. I remember there was Elizabeth somebody. She was an administrator of public assistance at the time. Stevenson was her last name. And she had never ridden a horse, and she played out. Dewey had to practically pack her down. And the She just got too sore, and she was so sore she couldn't walk. It was awful. So I waited there at the foothills when I got down with my horse, and I had ridden the horse up and Dewey had taken the car, and I'd ridden my horse up and took his for some reason, and he'd gotten up there and had to do something else, and, mm-hmm. and so I took the horse for her and drove. He took the horse, but no, I've got to turn around. Dewey took the two horses and I drove up, and he led the two horses. So he'd have them there so she wouldn't have to ride any farther than possible.
Because she was sore.
Well, we thought that would help, and it did, because when we came down, I had to bring her down in the car. She couldn't stand. She had given out up the trail, and she couldn't ride anymore.
Oh.
So I had to bring her home in the car.
Well, now tell me where... Let's backtrack a little bit. Now, your first husband died after you were married 10 years,
yes.
You told me.
And I was...
And you had lived in Pueblo at that time?
Yes. I had a beauty shop in Pueblo.
And then you moved back to...
Yes. Silver Cliff. My two sisters married. They were married and they lived here with families. And my mother and my brother, four in the family that had... homes here.
Lived here. Then you moved here and then you married Dewey Austin.
Yeah.
What year was that, Irma?
20.
Somewhere in the 1920s, anyway.
Huh?
Somewhere in the 1920s?
Uh-huh. It was, I believe, in 1920.
Uh-huh. And then you moved, did he have a ranch at that time?
No. We never owned a ranch here.
I see.
And we leased ranches. And I think the one I liked the best was the Beck Place. It was 2,080 acres on it.
Beck Place? B-E-C-K?
Uh-huh. Beck Place. And, we stayed there 5 years, I guess it was, and then we had quite a herd of our own. We didn't pay the lease was that we gave him a percentage of the increase on our stock, and he gave us a percentage. Really, it was trading across, but he had more than we had.
I see.
And so we sold most of the cattle when we left. We took just the special ones, the cows I wouldn't let him sell.
Uh-huh.
And and the horses, he took the team.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought a place in Missouri. He thought he'd like it because that had been his home.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't like it. He wasn't there 2 weeks that he wanted to come home. So we came back as soon as we could sell. We were there 4 years.
Now, tell me something about your life on the ranch.
Oh, it was good.
Did you have to cook for...
Oh, yes. And
for the hands? How many hands did you have? Did you have people that were...
No, we usually kept one, is all. And I was a hand, too.
I see.
And my husband. And we took care of most everything. If we needed any extra, we just hired extra.
Uh-huh.
And... Those were good years. And by him being commissioner, we had so much company. I had lots of extra company come in. You never knew. That's the way I remember my son came from Denver with my daughter-in-law's uncle. And he came up out in the morning. He said, I never saw such a place. People coming all night long. And some came. I made steaks for a bunch that came from Denver. And there was something like 8 or 10.
Mm.
And it was at 10 o'clock at night. And then we got in a card game. They like to play cards, poker. And we got in a card game, and that lasted until probably 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh! Huh?
So that's the way it was.
And then you'd have to be up again in the morning.
But I got up at 6 o'clock or before and had to. You have to on the ranch. And then if there were anybody, it was anybody came that visited, wanted to go to the lakes, we always took them horseback, and to my sorrow, because that's a long ride for people.
Yeah, and they aren't used to the altitude. And
well, yeah, not only that, they got saddles sore.
Sore.
And then they thought walking would be better, and they were so sore from the saddle that they could scarcely
walk.
You almost had to pack them out of there.
Oh, well, what lakes would you go up to?
Lake of the Clouds and Venable.
Uh-huh.
And Comanche, mostly. Mm-hmm. Harmer, we had to go down the trail a little to get to Hermit, and we didn't go there very much.
Well, you know, Irma, though, that there's a lot of people that live here all their life and never get up to those lakes.
Oh, my. Yeah, they miss.
Don't they?
I used to go up fishing, my sister and I, and we'd crawl on to, I'd say crawl, practically. We'd climb to the top so we could look over in the San Luis Valley.
Uh-huh. It's beautiful.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Irma, since you've been up in the mountains and you've seen so many of the lakes and the beauty up there, I know you write poetry, and you said that you have a poem that's about the Sangre de Cristo Mountains.
Yes.
Okay. I want you to recite it for me as well as you can remember.
Well, I can't find my book, but I will eventually, but I'll try.
Right.
Sangre de Cristo's cold, serene, beholder of another scene, before the white man sought to gain possession of your vast terrain, you seem to frown and reprimand our banishment of Indian band. Your spruce trees even seem to sigh a requiem for the days gone by. The valley that your mother saw was loved by warriors long ago. Your mighty forest sheltered game, that was before the white man came. The land that myriad fences bound was once a buffalo grazing ground, and there, where now pulsates a town, is where the herd once bedded down. Wondrous mountains, could you but tell the secret that you guard so well, the wanton slaughter of the herd, the slaying of each beast and bird? Still you look down in proud disdain, then seem to ask, what did you gain? 'Tis then in retrospect I see your valley as it used to be.
Oh, that's great.
Mrs. Irma Austin's Memories is taken from the Reflections Bicentennial 1976, Custer County, Colorado, Custer County Women's Club. Mrs. Irma Austin tells of coming to Junkins Park as an 8-year-old girl for a visit with her grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. George Sellers, spelled S-E-L-L-E-R-S. Irma, her mother, a sister, and a brother arrived in Florence by train and went on to Junkins Park in a surrey with a fringe on top. At the time, the surrey was Florence's only taxi service. An older sister had remained in Kansas with her father, who was ill. Mr. and Mrs. Sellers came to the park about the turn of the century in a covered wagon. Mr. Sellers, whose trade was cabinet making, immediately built a cabin from the timber on their homestead. After completing the house, he made all the furniture. The family had brought only the stoves and a pie safe with them in the wagon. Mrs. Austin recalls the beauty of the handmade furniture and the perfection of its finish. Mrs. Sellers, a fragile woman, preserved all the native fruits in syrup cans and sealed them with red sealing wax. Their livelihood consisted mostly of their fruit, native game, and vegetables from their garden. Mr. Sellers cut timber for the mines at Rockvale. The property was sold in 1912 after Mr. Sellers' death for $700 for 160 acres. Irma told of the Chinese laundryman, Mr. Liu S. Key, who arrived in Silvercliff in the 1880s and purchased the house in which Irma now resides. He operated the laundry for 41 years at the same location. Upon his death, his estate was returned to a wife he married at an early age in China. Mr. Key was a hard-working man and a devout Christian. He took an active part in the Presbyterian Church in Silver Cliff. He was a special friend to young people of the community and taught a Sunday school class for many years. He was devoted to the maintenance of the church and grounds. Mr. Key must have been an ardent gardener. Mrs. Austin remembers a giant Hoya plant that completely covered the ceiling of a room in the laundry. Mrs. Austin still lives in Silver Cliff, where she stays busy with her beautiful oil and water paintings.